again, folks. Here we go with your Royal Rumble report. Sunday afternoon, January the 19th, we're about 3 weeks away from Albany, New York, and the brand new Knickerbocker Arena, the Royal Rumble, available exclusively on pay-per-view cable television. Now, earlier, you heard about the Intercontinental title defense. He's going to be meeting the Mountie. What about this tag team bout? The Bushwhackers with Jameson in their corner to meet the Beverly Brothers with the Genius in their corner. And just signed this past week, the new foundation to meet the Orient Express. We cannot, however, forget 30 of the greatest superstars in one match, in one ring, under one roof at one time. The 30-man Royal Rumble, and this year, the winner of the Rumble simultaneously becomes the undisputed World Wrestling Federation champion. Let's talk about the rules. You know, right back in the dressing room area prior to the competition, President Jack Tunney holds out the hat, and of course, you draw out your number. That's the way you enter the ring. You start with two men. Every 2 minutes thereafter, another man enters the competition. I should point out the luck of the draw, very important. I think it's been noted Hulk Hogan and The Undertaker will have the advantage of the draw this year because they're going to be drawing between numbers 20 and 30 for obvious reasons. Indeed, friend versus friend, foe versus foe, anything can happen in a Royal Rumble. As a matter of fact, let's go back and take a look at some of the footage from last year's event.
And look at this, Tabata with a slam on Davey Boy. Where's he going?
Man, what a risk at this point. What a risk.
Not the place to be. Oh. And there goes Tabata.
He's out of there. Sting and Soprano.
Wow, as you can see, anything can happen at a Royal Rumble. This year's participants, the British Bulldog, IRS, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and the self-proclaimed Real World's Champion, let's hear from Ric Flair.
Oh, Lord, how it's hard to be humble.
When you're perfect in every way.
Well, what are you going to do about this? The bottom line is, when I walk that long, immortal aisle to the championship, you're all going to be saying one thing. What caused all this? Woo!
Also, Greg the Hammer Valentine, the model Rick Martel, Sid Justice, and the rockers Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. The Warlord, the Texas Tornado, Rowdy Roddy Piper, Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, Virgil, the Repo Man, the Macho Man, Randy Savage, and this individual, Jake the Snake Roberts.
Royal Rumble? Yeah. 30 men, 28 others, or is that 29? Some people say The Undertaker and I don't play by the rules, that we're going in with one mission only, walking out with the World Heavyweight Championship belt. Yeah, maybe we aren't. Trust me, we'll do it.
There's more. El Matador, Tito Santana, the Berserker, Sergeant Slaughter, Nasty Boy Sags, Nasty Boy Knobs, the Big Boss Man, and this ominous individual, The Undertaker.
Oh, my sacred vessel is not as full.
When I listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea, I don't fall asleep at the wheel like the Junkyard Dog.
Umesi, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. Tell my people, my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss Turnbuckle Throwback Radio, Rap EM Radio. Oh, yeah!
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
My unconventional life, stranger in a southern land, inconclusive breakdown, turnbuckle throwbacks, neckbreaker, and the Shining Wizards. These are the shows of the Shining Wizards Network. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all, right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who are you looking at, the man?
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Ooh, yeah!
Little seven dust for you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, episode 203. Man, 203, is it 203?
It is,
right? 203,
I believe so.
203, 204, one of them. Anyway, I am, of course, your gracious host, the blue collar scholar, the heavyweight primate. I was called the Messiah of Memories.
Ooh.
According to the Geek City Industry guys.
Nice.
I am the Impact player, Mr. Phil Ray, and I...
The Portuguese Man of War, Choppy. What's up, everyone?
And we are live, sir.
We are live.
All right, we are live on Rant Entertainment. EM Radio is the plizace, as the kids say now, right?
Yes.
All right, we are part of the Shining Wizards Network, and everybody's in the house tonight.
Shaylin's in.
Pastor.
Yeah.
A bunch of people here tonight. How's everybody doing?
Hello, everyone.
All right.
I'm just working hard.
We just scoffed dinner down.
We did.
Out.
That's right. The wifeys are out.
Get the fuck out. We're going to the movies. Yeah, you do that.
Yeah, go see Mr. Notebook.
Oh, please, with the notebooks.
That movie was horrible.
I told Choppy's wife, I'm like, just be prepared. The last four movies the other one dragged me to, no matter what genre, they all sucked ass.
Oh, dude. I can only imagine what you've been put through.
And it ain't like it's like, oh, we're going to a bitch flick. No, she took me to a science fiction movie, Christmas Day. It sucked.
Which one was this?
That fucking Passenger movie.
Oh, my God. You saw that?
Yeah. I got to tell you, the seats were delicious. They were like these reclining gimmicks.
Oh, the ones from like Edison?
No, we went to the Atrium.
Oh, they have those now?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have to go to Jersey no more. Thank God.
No. You could sit in these, and apparently I'm going to be living over there soon, hopefully. We'll talk about that later on in a couple of months. But, I almost took a nap. You put your feet up.
That happened to me once at the movie theaters in Edison when I went to go see Suicide Squad.
Yeah, man. So, it's that kind of party. And I said, you know what? God bless. We're going to order dinner. Watch some New Japan, and now here we are.
Yes.
All right. So, no, I don't want to update Skype. Get away. Speaking of Skype, we're going to be getting a call in about 25 minutes, hopefully, from the combatants of Sushi Slam.
Yeah.
Rage finally posted his video today.
Yeah. I mean.
And all he had to do was train.
You're right.
All he had to do was train.
You're right. You're correct.
And he did. And, it should be fun. And, I don't know, man. I don't know. He put himself in another situation. I really hope he does well, man, because if he doesn't, I was telling Choppy in pre-production, he's going to have zero credibility on this network.
Nobody is going to want to go up against him because everyone's going to beat him. Everyone knows they can beat. If he does not win this Sunday, he is just worthless.
Yeah. I'm not. It's not even a joke anymore. Like, when he lost to Dave, he was beating Dave.
He was.
And then he just gave up. Like, he didn't give up. He got full. He got, you know, he got tired. And Dave was eating bad food for, like, you know. And Dave's in good shape. Dave works out, you know.
He does.
So he was eating fucking pizza for like a month and a half. So he was like, okay, and took advantage and won. But you can watch all of that and listen to it live on The Rant at 5 o'clock on Sunday.
It's going to be a happening.
Yeah. Definitely going to be a happening. I can tell you that. I can definitely tell you that. It's don't forget, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, is the NXT TakeOver from Texas special pre-show. AA is going to be hosting. I think I'll be jumping on. And you guys want to call in tomorrow night, we'll have a chat room. And I believe Mr. Will I Am Morgan and Hightower and his crew are going to be doing the post-show, since the wrestling call-in show is tomorrow night.
Yep.
So, no, my son is not competing. My stepson wants to compete. He called out, called both combatants out.
Yeah, and Elaine as well?
Yeah, he ate 16 pieces yesterday.
Wow.
And laughed at them. He's like, I could do this. He said to his dad, I can. He goes, both of them, he said, I'll take on.
Hammer, I've seen him pound down some food, man. That kid can eat.
Ask Choppy and ask Tony C about this kid's eating regimen. That kid ate 5 pounds of king crab legs in buckets in front of Tony C down in Florida.
Oh, my God.
Legit. The kid is no joke. He's a machine. He is a machine. He's 10 years old. He'll be 10 years old this year. He's almost 5 foot. I can't keep clothes on him. Like, it's like, you know, the entire family clothes him.
Yeah.
We can't keep up with him. I'm buying him clothes. His grandmothers are buying him clothes. His dad's buying him clothes. Like, you can't, my mother buys him. You just can't keep up with him, you know? So, yeah, you have a grown boy, and sushi's expensive, so.
Wait until he turns 13, and you'll see how growing he really is.
Oh, yeah, he'll get the pubes, and he'll get the friggin', the appetite of destruction. He's gonna. I'm gonna have to take out another mortgage to feed that kid. I don't know, man. Anyway, yeah. So Sushi Slam is gonna be happening. We're gonna be doing it on Facebook Live, and I think also YouTube. We have to work out that capability. So, but you, either way, you can listen to it live on The Rant as well. And we're gonna be. I mean, myself, the Unsilent Majority, Mega Powers will be here. We'll be doing color commentary. Choppy, jump on with us. It's going to be a happening. So don't forget to, you know, tune in. And just tune in to all the shows, man. And I'll plug all the stuff at the end of the night. So if it be that way, let it be, as Dusty Rhodes used to say. But we have a show tonight.
The greatest Royal Rumble of all time.
Now, I think Otto said I did it already, but I probably did it by myself, and it was probably shitty. So either way, we're going to rehash it. We're going to redo it. And we're going to do it up nice.
Yep.
You know?
We got all the nice interviews. We have everything, guys.
Yeah, it's going to be the bomb, man. It's going to be the bomb. We even got, where was it? Mean Gene is going to be joining us again. You know, he's going to be, and listen.
Put that cigarette out.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I wish Dusty was here, though.
You like this hat?
Sure do.
You better like this hat. That's no lie.
That's what I'm talking about.
Goddamn right.
Goddamn right. You like this hat.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt Squires. Matt Squires on Facebook today, and he goes, when I did the video, I had a sticker under my hat. I forgot to take the sticker off from under the hat. I was like, oh, it's a brand new hat. I got it like Christmas, you know? Like, good call, Matt Squires. Calling me out on my sticker. I forgot.
I mean, it happens sometimes when you buy a pair of new jeans and you notice that you forget to put the
sticker on the leg.
Yeah, dude, I always forget.
And we're fat bastards, you know. You if it's a crease in the pants and you put your pants on, it's stuck in the crease, your ass out. It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
It's over.
It's a wrap. You know. Oh man. All right. So you doing all right though? Otherwise.
Yeah, man. Everything's good.
The wife is good. I saw her a little while ago.
Yeah, we're all good so far. Thank God.
She put Choppy on a diet. Can I talk about this?
Yeah, please.
She puts Choppy on a diet, right? So she's not going to be listening to the show, right?
No, probably
okay,
not.
Good. So I said, I'm not on a diet, so we're going to order whatever the fuck you want and buy him dinner. So he says to me after we eat, he goes, yeah, man, we had a cookout at work, and my boys bought beer. I'm like, wait a minute, you're on a diet, and they bought you beer? And not just regular beer, like the Mexican beer.
Yeah,
right?
Modelo and Presidente.
Yeah, that's like mucho, mucho calorios, you know? You know what I'm saying? Oh, man.
It was just Friday. Who cares? Everyone cheats on Fridays.
It's cheat day.
Yeah.
During, I remember when I was a Catholic, during the Lent time, you couldn't eat meat on Fridays.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man. And you would always forget. Like, you would do, like, you get ashes, and you wait, like, the first 2 weeks, and I'm like, oh, man. And when I converted, I was like, thank God I'm friggin' Protestant now, man. Because I can't do that meat thing. Because you forget. Dude, you know my lifestyle. I'm constantly working. I'm constantly on the go. If I grab a piece of protein, I always reach for chicken. What I have tonight, chicken.
Yeah.
What I have this afternoon, chicken. I do eat red meat. I do like an occasional steak. I do like a lot of pork because I'm Italian. But like my sausage, you know, but I love chicken. I love protein. Chicken, turkey, that kind of shit. I had salami for lunch today. But I can't do that. I can't.
Though I'm Catholic. Whenever Lent rolls around, I never follow the whole Friday thing. I mean, to me, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to remember when to fucking not eat meat nowadays? Come on.
Yeah, and on top of that, if you, in New York City, every borough has their own archdiocese. Well, in Brooklyn, you can't eat meat on Wednesdays and Fridays, but in Queens, it's okay. I'm like, wait a second. That's not cool. You can't just switch that up. And like, oh yeah, that person's not a saint anymore. And when that happened, when they started taking saints away, and I'm like, and they wanted more money from me, I'm like, you know what? I think I'm gonna take my spirituality somewhere else. And this is not no knock on Roman Catholics. So I grew up Roman Catholic. I went to Catholic school. I was an altar boy, so I'm not knocking. I'm just saying, like, I can't. I need meat. I'm a fat bastard. I'm on the go, and I need my meat.
I don't blame you. We need our protein. We cannot just not be eating meat on Fridays. Come on. It's not fair. These priests need to do a little revision of that Bible.
Either way, I want to hear a funny pastor will appreciate this. So I have a Jewish manager, right? And a couple of years ago, I was like 500 pounds. I was massive. And I was running late, and I was still Catholic. And I went to the chapel, and I got ashes, right? This is before I converted.
Yeah.
So this is like, no, it's like this 9 years ago. So I'm sitting in the office, I'm sweating. It's 2 or 3, it's like 3 o'clock. So I'm logging in, and I'm sweating. And the dirt is like running off my head. And my Jewish manager comes in, he goes, oh, look at the Catholic guy with dirt on his head. Joking around. Look at the Catholic guy. Oh, you got some dirt on your head there, tough guy. So finally, after like 5 minutes of him ragging on me, and there's like 10 people in the room, I put the social worker on hold. I said, listen, man, at least I have a whole Bible. I said if you wanted the whole story, I got the New Testament.
Wow.
You have half a Bible. You got half a Bible. It's not a chant. You got half a Bible. Right? And he looked at me like, I can't believe you just said that. I'm like, hey, listen, man, don't knock my hustle. All right? You want the whole story? I got the New Testament for you. I'm gonna hook you up. I'm gonna do the right thing. to this day, he always brings it up to me. He's like, hey, you want to go to Bible study? He starts laughing.
Yo, he said, you got half a Bible.
And then the whole room started chanting. Now, you know Will, my boy Will, yes, Sweeney, he's chanting, you got half a Bible. See, it's hysterical.
That's awesome.
So, that's our religion talk tonight.
Yes.
So, all right, so you're good. You're on a diet, sort of.
Yeah.
Not after the garlic knot chicken palm sandwich you just had.
Fantastic, by the way. Guys, if you can find a pizzeria near your area where you can put a chicken parm in a garlic knot.
It's a garlic knot. It's a garlic it's a giant garlic roll. It's a garlic knot. It's a roll. And
And they stick in a cutlet and some mozzarella. Oh my God, you guys got to try it. It's so good. Oh, Shaylin, if you can, go check it out, because you're on the island, I believe, and it's a North Shore Pizza right on Forest Avenue.
Right on Forest Avenue, right by where I live.
Yeah, fantastic.
I am the king of bacon.
No, Rage, you're not the king of bacon.
You're not even the king of freaking pizza, by the way.
There he is, the man, the myth, the legend himself.
What's up, Marquise?
The Blackachu, as they call him on the Instagrams.
Yes, it is.
That's my man right there. All right, so... You want to get into a little bit of wrestling talk before the combatants call in?
Absolutely.
All right. So we let's get the elephant out of the room and not talk about me. Let's talk about Kenny Omega not coming to WWE.
Yeah.
He announced on WrestleZone the other day, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that he's flying back to Japan in mid February to renegotiate the 1-year contract that was given that they give out to those guys. So So we had a lot to say, but I know I told Choppy to save it for the show because I mean it. Everyone wants to know our opinion on it, and I told everybody to wait till Friday. So here we are. So
yeah. So I mean, he was trolling people for the last month now, which is fine. He could do whatever he wants to do. You know, it's freedom of speech. Excuse me. While I was burping my food.
Go ahead.
And I believe that Kenny Omega did the right move, in my opinion. He doesn't have to go to WWE right now. I mean, the man is a superstar no matter where he is, whether it's New Japan, ROH, or WWE. And if he wants to go back to New Japan, by all means go. But if he goes back to New Japan and he does not get that IWGP heavyweight title, then it was not even worth it.
I told Choppy in pre-production that if he doesn't win the title this year, it's the equivalent of Undertaker losing the streak. The storyline is not feasible. But you know what? I think he earned that spot. I think him and Okada told a really good story in the ring. In my heart, and I told Choppy this too a little while ago, I feel like that's going to happen. He's going to win the title. And he even said the WWE's talent pool is too deep. And they don't need me. He wants to be needed. So they would have signed him, and he would go to NXT. They weren't going to put him in the Rumble. Honestly, even if they did put him in the Rumble, he'd go right down to NXT the next day. He'd be on the plane to Florida. He'd be going to Full Sail.
And no disrespect to Mr. Kenny Omega, but honestly, nobody would know who he is. Maybe like half the crowd would know.
Well, let's scale that back a little bit, because I think most of the fans that go to the matches aren't the casual fans that we think that don't know who Kenny Omega is. I think the casual fans will not know who he is, but the marks and the people who do the chants and the people who buy the merch and the gimmicks,
yeah,
those kids are going to know who Kenny Omega is. Kenny Omega is the greatest wrestler who's not in WWE right now.
Yeah.
And that's better than Okada right now, better than Tanahashi, and I'm going to get some shit for that from my you know, my strong style people on the social medias, but I'm sorry. When you got a guy, Jin, that worked his way up from the juniors and pretty much ran the best faction and then gets title shots after title shots and then puts himself in the main event, he busted his ass.
I mean, let's compare. Let me can do a comparison. Do you think who's the bigger star out of these two? AJ? Or Kenny?
Right now?
I mean, let's think about this. Last year, AJ was debuted at the Rumble, and when he debuted, everyone knew who the fuck he was.
Right.
Even when he was in New Japan or TNA.
Mm.
Now, if he, like, say for example, if he were to debut, Kenny was supposed to debut this year, do you think he would have gotten the same reaction as AJ did last year?
No. Because AJ Styles has done more than Kenny Omega.
Yes.
Like, he's been to TNA, he's been to Ring of Honor, he's been to New Japan. You know what I'm saying? He's done more. He's got more of a portfolio.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega was a guy who went developmental and then left because it wasn't for him. And I equate this to, I listened to Sami Callihan, who recently was on Colt Cabana, who was Solomon Crowe in NXT, right? Who, for those who don't know. And he is a guy who basically was his own brand. And then when he went there, he was a shell of his own person because he wasn't that guy anymore. So, you know, he wrestled once in a year, apparently. And then when he did wrestle, it was like few and far between after that. And it was like, you know what? I'm not who I am anymore. And I think Kenny Omega wants to keep the persona. I mean, I can't see. There are certain guys that can go and change their gimmick and be like it was funny because I also equate this to Too Cold Scorpio, and I'm not comparing the styles, but when Too Cold Scorpio went from Too Cold Scorpio to Flash Funk, it was like that's just stereotype shuck and jive African American type shit. Like that's not who
I agree.
That's not who Too Cold Scorpio is for me. Too Cold Scorpio is like, is if you took Shaft and Booker T and had a love child, that's, you know,
I agree.
And you know what I'm saying? So, there's so many intangibles with that. And I feel like if he would have went now, like he said, even he said, they would not, they wouldn't have utilized him the way he wants to be used.
I agree. I think that, it, like I said before, it was a very good move for him to stay in New Japan, because you probably said it best. They probably wouldn't have let him keep his persona that he was doing in New Japan for so long.
Did you see his entrance in New Wrestle Kingdom?
Of course I did. The Terminator entrance was fantastic.
But do you see the merch he sells and the crowds he draws and the YouTube videos he's been doing with the Bucks? The Elite thing is such a... It's so over to the point where it was, you know... Like, even New Day was rolling with them on social media. Like, yes. you couldn't help but be... Even if you didn't like the Bucks... And we know a lot of people don't like the Bucks, by the way. We have a lot of colleagues and peers who don't like the Bucks either. But even if you don't like the Bucks, their energy and this whole vibe with him, with them and Omega is awesome.
Yes,
I love the Elite. I'm a Bullet Club mark. And you know what? I drank the Kool-Aid, man. I'm invested. And I hope, and I really hope Kenny Omega does win. And then you write your ticket. Then you could bring more to the negotiating table. Hey, look, man, I'm New Japan champion. I can go. And here's a guy now who can wrestle. He can go to 305, 205 Live. He can go to NXT, and he could be on the main roster. Those three guys, I mean, those three things out of Kenny Omega you can have if you keep the persona. Don't give him a fucking mask. Don't make him. Don't let him not cut his. And people are like, oh, you know, he can't cut promos very good. He's not terrible.
No, he's a good promo guy. I disagree with that. I think he's pretty good.
When he called out Nakamura before Nakamura, and when he called him out, I'm coming after you. I'm done with Kushida. I want your belt. And I was like, whoa. And then the next night, they fucking beat up on AJ.
Yeah.
And he takes over Bullet Club. I'm like, he just wrote his own ticket. He just wrote his own ticket. Kenny Omega is the shit. He's the best wrestler in the world outside of WWE. Hands down.
I agree. I definitely agree on that. And going back to the whole deal about personas, we're going to segue a little bit, but you did hear about what's going on with WWE right now, right?
With what?
They're actually planning. You know how they were like giving some guys some leeway in terms of their names?
Yes.
Now they're going back to the whole thing of like changing people's names again.
You mean like giving them one, like giving them like different names or shortening the names?
No,
like
you know how before you know Prince Devitt was Prince Devitt, and then he went to WWE. Now he's Finn Balor. Now they're actually planning on whenever they sign a new crop of talent, they're going to change their name. For example, Tommy End, they just signed him, right?
Right.
They changed his name already. He's called Aleister Black or something like that. That's his new name now.
Aleister Black?
Yeah, it's complete shit.
You know. And listen, in a way, you can't blame WWE for doing that because
it's copyright.
That A and B, they want to create. They see something in him with a character. Again, like when Devitt became Finn Balor, it was like, and you looked up his name, I was like, that was him. He had now guys are getting their own. They're not having creative control, so to speak, but they're having an input in their gimmick. And it ain't like Vince McMahon's in the 90s and the 80s sitting in the chair going, okay, you're gonna be Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like that anymore. You know, they guys have more input in their character. Some of them do, you know?
Yeah, some of them do, not all of them though.
Mr. Hightower in the room, what's up, bro?
What's going on, brother?
Man, so again, I'm not. People are like, oh, it would be a waste if he didn't show up. No, man, because you know what? The Rumble is going to be so good, regardless.
There's a lot of buzz on this Rumble right now.
Right, we were talking about that now. You said you read something. I know for a fact that they have to have some kind of surprise. Kurt Angle said he's not coming in.
I call bullshit on that too.
I'm calling shenanigans. I think Joe is going to get the bump up.
I think so too. I agree with that.
Okay. They'll probably bring in a legend of some sort. Besides, if it's not Kurt Angle, if it's going to be Kurt Angle and somebody else, but
I think they have too many legends now in this Rumble.
Show is in it.
You got the show. You got show.
Show's in it now.
You
right?
got Undertaker. Mm-hmm. You got Goldberg. You got Brock is. I don't know if you consider him a legend, but he's up there in age two now.
Well, yeah.
You got Angle possibly going to be in there. I've also heard. I heard another legend is supposed to be in it, but I heard it maybe Jake the Snake is going to make an appearance.
I have no problem with that.
But you know, you got to give the younger guys an opportunity as well. You know.
So, Well, we can, I guess, because you're not, we're not going to, I don't think we're going to be on the Rumble pre-show because of the whole thing with Sushi Slam, and I have to entertain people and break down the audio. So we should go over the Rumble real quick and just call and before these guys call in. Let me go to the .com over here.
And I also read something that Triple H posted something online, and he said that us fans will not know, we won't even see it coming, the winner of the Rumble. Which I love. I love that idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I for some reason, every year, I felt like I've almost predicted a winner, and it's almost always come true. And I feel like this year, I have no clue who's going to win the Rumble. What do you think?
He's calling. Rage, don't call in yet. Call at 9:30. It's fucking...
Mr. Hightower says he thinks Joe should win the Rumble, but I don't think it's going to happen, brother. I hope you're right, but I don't think it's going to happen. I feel like a lot of the times that we see guys that we feel deserve to be Rumble winners or champions, and sometimes we don't. That's not in the cards. And no, Shaylin, Rollins is not in the Rumble because he got eliminated by Sami Zayn this past Monday.
Right. So let's go before we get over Rumble predictions. Let's go right now, just real quick. Neville's fighting Rich Swann for the Cruiserweight gimmick.
He's getting the strap.
Okay. I think so, too. Bayley's fighting Charlotte for the women's title.
Charlotte's going to win that.
Charlotte's going to win that. Okay. And Roman Reigns gets a title shot. He lost his U.S. title to Chris Jericho.
Yes, he did.
He's getting a title shot against Kevin Owens. I don't see Owens dropping the belt.
Me neither.
Okay.
No way.
Cena against AJ. Now, you said Cena might win the strap.
I can't pick a winner on this match, and I'll tell you why. Because AJ Styles has beaten Cena 3 straight times. And now I'm like, all right, this is like their 4th match. I mean, I feel like Cena's going to get the belt in this match.
I said to you on pre-production, if Cena does win, they have to throw Bray at him, A. And B, then I don't think they're going to hotshot that belt.
No.
Before Mania.
They're not.
So you're going to have to build some kind of storyline if they, you know. So I'm going to take AJ, but I could see Cena winning a belt. I could see him doing it.
And for some, I have this weird inkling feeling that John might turn heel this Sunday. I don't know what it is.
Oh, I hope so.
His promos have been so heel-like lately. I'm like, first off, his first interview, his first back and forth with AJ... He said he was sick and tired of this new era bullshit. And when he said that, I was like, ooh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I don't remember him being like that before.
You're not the only one to say that either. I've been hearing it all over podcasts and on PS2.
And then last week he said, you know, you're nothing. You're beneath me, bro. You're nothing to me. And I'm just like, wow, that's not Cena to say stuff like that.
Yeah, insane. All right, who wins the Rumble?
I don't know.
You don't have a winner?
I want, you know what? Do we even know who's in it, roughly? Do we even...
I mean, you just mentioned half the friggin'...
You know who I'm going to call? Goldberg.
You calling Goldberg?
I'm calling Goldberg.
Okay, now Goldberg gets a title shot at Mania.
I believe so, yeah.
And he could pick either belt.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to pick either belt. I don't know that. Is that a possibility?
That's always the possibility with the brand split. Remember Edge did it?
Edge did it. Benoit did it. Yeah. I'm going with Goldberg.
Okay.
I feel like he's going to get it.
I'm taking Finn Balor.
Okay, I can see that happening.
I'm taking Finn Balor, and I want him to go after Kevin Owens at Mania.
I heard rumors that they're planning on having him drop the belt, but I don't think that's going to happen. Having him drop the belt to Roman, and then him and Jericho feuding at Mania.
If Jericho would win the Rumble.
Dude.
Right? And he's in it.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
Yeah. Rage, if you want to call in now, please call in. Elaine, also, if you're listening, please call in. Yeah, man. I have no issue with that. I have no issue with Jericho winning that friggin'...
I would be happy with it.
I mean, he's basically... He kept my interest in the last 6 months, you know? It's a no-brainer, you know?
So, would you... If they go at it... Him and Owens. Do you think that it's going to be like a... he gets the strap, you think?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it could be Owens and Jericho. It could be Owens and Balor. Either way,
I'm still happy regardless.
Yeah, you know what, dude? Kevin Owens headlining wrestling. Well, first of all, Undertaker's going to wrestle the headliner probably. They're not going to make him. They're not going to, unfortunately.
Who would Undertaker fight this year? I mean, there's really... I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Hold on a second. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks are the two combatants of Sushi Slam. Hello to Elaine and Rage.
Konnichiwa, bitches.
All right, what's going on?
Everybody's doing well.
All right, what's going on there, Elaine? What's going on with you?
Oh, not much. Again, like I said before, and I will probably say again on Sunday, congratulations, Choppy. You know, that's fantastic news.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, you finally got a bun in the oven. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing the decorations that you guys are going to put up in this kid's bedroom.
Oh, we already talked about that. Yeah. We already got Halloween costumes picked out.
Oh, we already got the Halloween costumes picked out, brother.
Oh, excellent. You'll have to give me the details later.
All right,
is there a pool going for names?
Not yet, because they just went public with it.
Yeah.
Only last week, a few of us knew before it happened. But, yeah. So I think once Bree's out of that trimester where it's super safe, I guess we'll start doing the whole baby thing.
And, yeah, exactly.
So yes. name the baby pool, whatever. So all right. Well, either way, we have another 8 months to 7 months to figure this all out, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited, my friends.
All right. So Elaine, you saw Rage's video today?
Only part of it. I was just told by an advocate about the video for.
Advocate?
I guess it was about 20 minutes or 25 minutes in, so I didn't really get a chance to watch it.
Yeah,
I heard that he did well, so I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, he did well, and we saw yours last Sunday, which is awesome. Nothing short of brilliant. Even I couldn't eat that much food, and I was three times your size at one point. I don't think I can eat that much food at that point. But yeah, Rage, you came correct, buddy.
Yeah, I did. Like I said, Rage trains when Rage wants, and he's not gonna be bossed around by a couple of bitches. Not you, Elaine. I actually look, despite what everybody thinks, I have a lot of respect for Elaine.
Rage,
you really we're show going Survivor Series, I have to say. I'd like to point out first that at the rant show, I believe on Tuesday, when Marcus, I'm sorry, Rage.
That's not him. Jesus Christ.
Marcus, come on. It's
that's
on
not
your,
my name.
It's on your name tag.
That's not my name.
Slash bib that you wore today. I mean, it was there.
Okay, whatever.
No.
But no, seriously, though. The thing was is that I just wanted to make a correction that was that there was an error in the rant show from Tuesday. They were saying that Rage had put the table at the signing, which is incorrect. I was the one that put the table. So I just wanted them to know that Rage did not do that. It was the actions of Rage that caused it, but it wasn't Rage himself who put the table.
All right. The advocate of Mr. Elaine Domingo.
The advocate is right here.
What's up, brother?
Your motherfucking tuna rolls, that's all you're going to do?
That's what I said, man. I said the same thing.
The fucking tiniest, fuckface.
They didn't have sashimis in the fucking...
Going to the hipster places of all groceries, you're going to get sushi there. You got to go correct, bro. You got to go to an Asian place.
Jesus Christ, if you're going to sit there and bitch about the sushi I ate, then why don't you come out of your goddamn pockets and you get me some goddamn sushi?
How about you?
I'll get you some. I heard you be rolling, son. from the home desk spot.
Nope. Hey, hey, Rage, why don't I get you some tempura dicks? How about that?
This is what bugs me about Double A. He always likes to get, he always likes to misquote me. Like, I tell everybody, if you're going to quote me, make sure it's accurate.
Must be the mushmouth hat you're wearing.
Which is why I went ahead and corrected it for you. That's why I just want to mention that you were trying to defend yourself in that regard. And, you know, they might have missed that I flipped the table and you didn't.
It was your actions
that did that. That caused it.
Right. That's the problem with AA. He has repressed memory. He wants to remember shit when he wants to remember it.
Rage, you better not jog to Elaine. It's got to be a good match, okay? Everybody's hyping this shit up.
That's what you know what, Rob? That's what I told Choppy about an hour ago.
I think he's totally going to tank.
I didn't jog.
From the way I'm seeing you eat, I don't know, man.
Whatever, man.
All right, so you guys have all the food figured out. The rules went over. Everybody's cool.
Also, in addition to that, I just want to mention, I know that Rage was asking for a point system, I was thinking that that should be incorporated in addition to the rules that AA had given us.
Because
the point for machine, two for sushi, and one for the handle. Now, with that in mind, it should be for calculating at the end when, let's say, the two combatants, as we are, do not finish in time, you know, whatever's left over, you know, we can tally up the number of points that are left, and whoever, you know, has...
Elaine, really? Really, Elaine? Really going to feign them on this? Do you think something's going to be left over?
Shut up, Rob.
Well,
maybe on Rage's plate. Mikey's like going to be fucking
yeah, Mikey's
on whatever leftovers.
Mikey's like that dog that always eats the human food at the table waiting for the scraps. That's going to be my son.
I tell you, I'm serious. If Mikey had entered this competition, Rage and I should be really worried.
I should have been a handicap right against Mikey. 2-1. I would have won.
Mikey would give you a 5-piece head start.
Yeah.
He would, and he would still win. Yes.
Yeah.
He is so excited. He's to the point where he has a party on Sunday, and he's making his dad leave the party early to bring him home.
Really?
Yeah. He's invested. It's his dad's weekend. He's like, I'll be home for Sushi Slam. Don't you worry.
Look.
Oh, that's fantastic. All I'm glad that he's excited about this.
All I know is this. Like I said, I don't have no qualms. I have nothing against Elaine. I like Elaine. It's just two fucking lackeys, and most importantly, David.
Lackeys?
It's just two lackeys.
Whoa! You fucking moist mouth wearing, wide nose having motherfucker.
Mostly virgin. Has Dave, through all of this, has shown what a giant mega pussy he is.
Sit
there. Well,
he doesn't have to prove anything.
The wolves instead of
he doesn't. He really doesn't. But here's the question: if, you know, just for the sake of argument, you lose on Sunday, what happens then?
When do you lose on Sunday?
Losing. Losing.
If you lose, give me that damn hat.
When he loses, it's. That's what's good.
But more importantly, the reason why I'm going through this is because I want AA show for one night. I want the rant because he always wants to say I crank out shitty audio and this and that. Well, you know what? That show for one night is going to be mine, and I'm going to put some goddamn asses in the seat.
Well, I'll tell you what, Rage. If you don't make a good showing, you're going to be the laughing stock of this organization for a very, very long time.
I don't care. Honestly, dude, I don't
care.
You
might have to go to TNA.
I don't care about being a laughing stock. I've done that.
No, dude.
I'm sick of these motherfuckers disrespecting me and fucking sullying.
That's not that hard to do, right?
Well, you need to validate yourself, okay? If you better come correct. And even if you lose, you better come correct. It better be a good showing. You better be ready.
He's going to get smoked. I'm going to get smoked like smoked salmon.
Tell your boy Dave to man the fuck up and stop.
Hold on, Rob. Rage, don't look beyond Elaine and start calling Dave out after Dave beat you.
Can't
right?
help it.
You got a formidable opponent waiting for you. He's salivating, dude. Elaine is salivating at this.
I'm salivating. I'm ready for this to fuck. I'm ready for this.
Everybody's drooling.
We've been waiting for this for months. Okay?
I know.
Keep in mind, you're the one who's delayed this.
Can Sunday come already so I can whoop this guy's ass? And I can get
hell no.
Wow, you're so humble, Rage. My goodness.
I am humble.
Don't fuck
with I know one thing. I'm getting sick. I'm just tired of Dave shit talk. That guy is a pussy.
Well, okay, terrific.
What you say?
U-S-S-Y.
By the way, Rage.
You can quote me on that.
Rage, he's in retirement right now. He can't go back.
He's in retirement because he's scared. He's a scared little bitch.
So you're saying you're Brock Lesnar and he's Goldberg and he's going to come out and retire and beat you again.
No, he's not.
Tufty!
All right, fellas. Gotta go. We'll see you in 2 days.
Later, brother.
All right.
Talk to you later, Advocate.
All right. You can listen to Rob every week on the rant with Thumbstick Ninjas.
Yes.
Cheap plug. All right. So, gentlemen, we're less than 48 hours away now. It's a happening. People, we're packing the house. The internet's a buzz. Social media is a buzz. Everybody's talking about it. Let's get some final thoughts from Elaine.
Basically, like some win or lose, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to enjoy this just as a, both a competition and a delicious meal. And as I said, I have nothing to lose here. So if I lose, that's all right. If I win, that's all right too.
This is true. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah, but I would like to say one thing, if I may paraphrase the chinless one. Anybody with two chopsticks has a fighting chance. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Mr. Harris, you want to you wanna rebut?
Right. To quote a very, very good man, a man I look up to, you might know him as CM Punk. There are two types of people in this world. Those who are champions and those who are wished to be champions. Right. I, sir, am a champion.
The champ.
Only wish you fucking were.
Here we go.
I am the king of bacon.
Oh,
you,
man.
You wish, sir, that you were a champion. You wish that you were half the man, sex appeal, had the had the charisma.
Uh-oh.
Awesome looks that one rage does.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us via satellite, the proprietor of this fine establishment and the owner and operator of Rant Entertainment Media.
Sit there and try and interrupt
Double
me.
A.
I am. But I'm only here to say one thing. You know, I'm here having a wonderful dinner at Outback.
No, you're not.
And
this is this. He gave me the mic.
Is
not
this
you.
Double A?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Hold on. You guys all talking over each other. Go ahead, boss.
I just heard this buffoonery that Rage was spewing, and I just got to say, I walked around the entire restaurant, asked everybody in the building, and they said, you're going to lose on Sunday.
You really reached out to lose that badly, huh? And this is exactly why I said on Facebook Live, sir, you wish that you had the sex appeal, the charisma, and the wherewithal to be who Rage is. I'm best in the world. Oh, you only wish you could pull off the fucking the wherewithal to pull off such awesome fashion sense that I do. So, sir,
Home Depot apron.
Sir, you can kiss my ass because I'm gonna
win.
That's okay. And your show,
I'm not looking to get sick today.
Your show is going to be mine for a night, and then you're gonna have.
Well, listen, I just wanted to call in and say that Rage, you're a fool. You're an idiot for accepting this challenge.
I ain't a fool.
You're going to get the... What was that?
Stop hating.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Oh, you found my wallet? Oh, wow. Hating. Oh, thank you.
He lost his wallet.
Oh, my God.
That.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
That's smart.
You guys just witnessed. My wallet was outside in the parking lot and somebody found it.
Did you, wow. Boss? Did you get a blooming onion?
Not in New York.
Good job, well, boss.
Yeah, you distracted me, Rage.
Good job. Good job, boss. Way to be smart, boss.
All right, listen, guys. I got something a little bit more pressing here to deal with other than listen to Rage.
Yeah.
Because you know I got a blooming onion coming to the table.
Word up!
Nice.
Yeah.
Keep that and not throw.
You're losing on Sunday.
I ain't losing. You're losing.
All right, boss. We'll see you tomorrow night.
All right, later.
We'll see you tomorrow night.
Later, brother.
It's tomorrow night.
I am the best in the world, sir.
7 o'clock. All right. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for coming on. Elaine, Rage, I can't wait to see you guys on Sunday. It's Choppy's birthday, too. We're gonna get down. We're going to party hardy. And like we always do, Takeover Crew is always in there. Either way, you guys are always crew. You're still crew. You're still family. And I hope for the best of both of you.
Of course. Best
Thank you
of
very
luck
much.
To you, Elaine. You're going to lose, but best of luck to you anyway.
Rage, good luck to you as well.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
All right, boys, enjoy the rest of your night.
Later, brothers.
And we'll see you on Sunday.
Ciao.
Good night.
All right. Let's give them a hand. All right. Would you say? Well, hold on a minute. Easy, Booker T.
Hulk Hogan, we're coming for you, nigga.
That's what I'm saying. All right, yeah, I wasn't stepping away from the soundboard. I'm sorry, Pastor. When Rage comes on, I lose all train of thought. So there it is, Chops. There it is. Sushi Slam is in effect. Sunday, 5 o'clock at the Decadome on the Rant Live, video and audio.
It's going to be happening, people. The two combatants are had a war with words right now, and you're going to have to witness greatness on Sunday.
If you want to see Green in Rage's face, watch the last video on Rant YouTube page when he faced Mega Powers. He was green in the face.
Dude, I mean, it was Little Caesars. He was eating, so.
Yeah. So, there you have it. There you have it. The two combatants, Double A chimed in, Rob chimed in. It's going to be a happening. Everybody's excited. And now I'm really excited.
Yeah, me too.
I was like, oh, it's Choppy's birthday, and we're going to watch Rage puke his guts up. So that should be interesting. And he throws up on my floor with kicking his ass.
Dude.
Yeah.
You better not.
I'll take him outside and beat the snot out of him. Be going back to Newark in a boff bag. All right. Listen, we're going to take a quick break, play some plugs, and we have a special Royal Rumble treat for you guys for 92. It's a little bit of not the report, but hold on a second. Not that one. Yeah, but it's going to be fun. We're going to do the plugs, and then we're going to play the it is the Royal Rumble report, isn't it? It is. All right, let me get that out there. And, you know, this is the audio that I got from the interwebs today, yesterday, and all week. I got a whole bunch of sound bites for you, including my favorite one, which I haven't stopped playing.
Put that cigarette out.
I love this one.
Put that cigarette out.
So, anyway, Choppy and I will be right back. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks for Live on the Rant, Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network, and Mr. Lord Alfred Hayes is going to take us into our break here.
Do it.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
As the undisputed World Wrestling Federation champ, undoubtedly will be defending that title at WrestleMania 8 in Indianapolis at the Hoosier Dome.
If you're not tuned in to the show,
have a long time. It's keep going
every time. DM rates the shutters where to talk about.
Are you a pro wrestling fan that also listens to heavy metal? Neckbreaker was designed just for you. Wrestling headlines, metal panels, drinking games, and interviews with guests including Chris Jericho, Nile, Frankie Kazarian, Symphony X, Eric Bischoff, and tons more. Have some drinks with us and listen to Neckbreaker Podcast, available for free on iTunes, Google Play, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher, or grab our full archive over at neckbreaker.net.
Do you like obscure references?
Vince just did the old Joel Gertner hand dance, which is awesome.
Pointless banter.
It's that chicken I smell, I'm gonna roll this rock out of the way.
And political dumb fuckery.
I haven't played this bad since I was in my 20s.
Then join us every weekend on the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, your source for anti-PC entertainment news and commentary.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
as the undisputed World Wrestling Federation champ, undoubtedly will be defending that title at WrestleMania 8 in Indianapolis at the Hoosier Dome on Sunday, April the 5th. Now, we had occasion to talk to some of the participants in the Royal Rumble, even now at the 11th hour. Let's get their thoughts.
Oh, yeah, the Royal Rumble, the single greatest wrestling event and match ever in the history of the World Wrestling Federation. Competition, yeah, against 29 of the greatest wrestlers in the world. And only one man can win the prestigious World Wrestling Federation Championship belt. I've won it before. I've been there before. I've been to the top of the mountain. And I'm going back. I'm going back this afternoon. Two things I want to accomplish this afternoon, yeah. Number one, sometime I want to get my hands on the Snake Man. And the other thing is, yeah, I want to once again be the World Wrestling Federation champion. Oh, yeah. Dig it. See, it is this simple. The man who is standing last in the Royal Rumble will be the World Wrestling Federation champion. So all I ask you to do is open your eyes. It will hit you in the head like a shot. For you are looking at the man that is superior to all. You are looking at the next World Wrestling Federation champion. You are looking at Sid Justice.
Hey, psst. Come here. No, closer. You know, one of the biggest thrills in my life is when I get to take something. And today, I got the opportunity to take the biggest prize ever from 29 of the best wrestlers in the World Wrestling Federation. And you know something? Wouldn't it be just great? The World Wrestling title right around my waist. The Repo Man. Oh, what a thrill. Because remember, what's mine is mine. And what's yours is mine too.
The last time the British Bulldog was in a match like this was in the Royal Albert Hall in London, England, my hometown. And what a thrill it was for me to dispose of 19 other opponents over the top rope and stand victorious in the hallowed halls of the Royal Albert Hall. But what a bigger thrill it's going to be this afternoon when the British Bulldog steps in the Royal Rumble and disposes of 29 other opponents and gets the World Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship belt around my waist. That will truly be a Royal Rumble.
They say you can't always get what you want, but I've always been able to get what I need. This afternoon, the World Wrestling Federation Championship belt is on the line. For 29 other men, it's going to be a big disappointment. Now, I would never disappoint myself. You, I don't mind. And Savage, believe me when I tell you, I'll be waiting for you. Yeah, I'll save some for you, and I'll have just enough left to walk out with that title around my waist. Trust me.
You're looking at the next World Wrestling Federation champion. You're looking at the man who rocks the cradle.
Mirror, mirror on the wall! Today we find out who's the fairest of them all! We're at the Royal Rumble, and 30 of the greatest World Wrestling Federation superstars gathered today to find out who is the man. For 4 months, I've called myself the real world champion. So for me, there's no back door. But remember, boys, and that's to all 29 of you, I've lived one way and one way only, and that's with the belief to be the man. You have to beat the man. And today, at the Royal Rumble, I am the man. Woo!
Oh, what a busy afternoon is going to be at my funeral parlor. 29 hearses have already been prepared. 29 bodies. 29 caskets.
And standing atop this mass carnage will be the Undertaker, crowned once more World Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Champion. You know something, Hulkamaniacs? Later on this afternoon, we get to prove a point that no one else could prove except us, man. In one given afternoon, we're going to prove to the whole world the power of Hulkamania. We're going to prove that we can beat all 29 other superstars in the World Wrestling Federation to get our WWF title back. Oh, yeah, winning the Royal Rumble is one thing, the most prestigious event in the WWF. But when you add the WWF title on top of that, that changes the whole picture, man. But Hulkamaniacs, this is our cup of tea. They're going to be coming from all different directions, friend or foe. They're all the same in the Rumble. But it's just like always, we're always getting cheap-shotted by one of our so-called friends. Or we're always getting cheap-shotted by that no-good Jack Tunney. But this is our cup of tea. And in the Royal Rumble, we're going to prove that Hulkamania reigns supreme. But to all those people in Titan Tower, in the WWF offices, don't worry about The Undertaker or Jake the Snake stealing that belt, man. Me and my little Hulksters have a special battle plan for the Royal Rumble. And what you going to do when Hulk Hogan and his little Hulksters rumble all over you.
Rumblefish breaks heads like dishes. Rumblefish is quicker than other fishes. Rumblefish, cause he's the big fish with the death wish, acting like a Waco from Texas. Flexes as he flirts in the stolen Lexus. Don't give a damn cause the man don't respect us. But this is the pot. Kids at the bus stop, bum rush the ride. Now who's the big shot? Reach for the clock, but it's locked on safety. Say, G, do you think that blackfish is tasty? Don't waste me. Rumblefish starts to plead, but these other little fish things, they need the feed, but they bleed. Cause Rumblefish is speedy. Plus the fishy bastard don't feed the needy. He's greedy, and he's seedy as shit. So don't be stupid and fuck with the Rumblefish. He's the Rumblefish. Better drop down.
All right, we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks live in the rant. Philly Ray, a big choppy in the building. I apologize for that. A little audio snafu from the promos. I have my audio. I'm sorry. I have my files lined up the wrong way, and I had to fast forward to the spot. So I apologize. That won't happen again next week.
It's okay.
If it wasn't, you know, so always something happened here. So
yeah.
Anyway. All right, so you heard from the main players, really, and we have a lot of other promos to play for you because I just showed Choppy the folder, so, but yeah, it's gonna be fun, good times. We have a great throwback for you tonight. This is gonna be one of my favorite nights of the year because, you know, the last 10 or 15 years anyway, the Royal Rumble is the setup from WrestleMania. It's WrestleMania season. It's our Super Bowl. It's our Stanley Cup. It's our World Series. It's our NBA Championship. It's our Kentucky Derby. Any sporting event you compare it to, if you're a pro wrestling fan, this is what it's about. From now until April, you know, the anticipation for Mania now. We just talked about, you know, we're having a party this year and, you know, and a lot of stuff going on here behind the scenes, and we're working that out for the TakeOver crew. We're going to get together. But more importantly, it's this was my favorite, and we'll get into all that right now. And when Choppy first started coming on board, he's like, "You didn't do the Rumble. You haven't done the Rumble." I was like, "You know, you're right. And it's my favorite." And Dave and I always thought about doing it, and I think we did, but we didn't do it the way we wanted to do it, and we didn't have the network. And there's so many things I did without having the network, without having the audio stuff. Now I have the audio stuff; I can redo it. You know?
Yeah.
And technology was not my friend. Still wasn't. I fucked tonight. That was my, and it was a human error.
It's not. It's okay.
No. I'm just saying. Like I beat myself up because I'm not that I'm a perfectionist, but I don't want to come correct. You know, I don't want to come half-assed. You know what I'm saying? Yes, Pastor. It was the goats. Yes, Rumblefish.
Pastor, you're really good with the music, my friend. Every week,
Pastor's my kindred spirit.
Holy
man.
Shit, Me dude!
And, I tell you right now, if Pastor Sadell grew up in Brooklyn, where we grew up, where I grew up anyway, you're from Jersey. Where I grew up, we'd be the best of friends. We have we have the same taste in music, and talking to pastors like talking to a brother. You know, it's like it's scary. And Shining Wizards Tony, the same thing. Maybe because we're all close in age, that's fine. But I like that he appreciates the music selection that I pick. It's I really put a lot of time into doing that. It's important to me. So, all right. Are you ready, sir?
I am ready, my friend.
I know the chat room is ready. People listening on the RAN is ready. On the TuneIn and the Transistor Radios, Matt Squire, Sony Walkman. And we're ready. Let's do it up.
And now, here is your Throwback of the Week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
All right. I want that poster. I want that Rumble poster.
I was thinking the same thing, man. Like, that's a really nice poster.
Yeah. You know what? And I say this all the time, and I mentioned this a bunch of times on different shows in my show, too. It's my favorite Rumble because it was for the title. Not because Ric Flair won it, not because Hogan was thrown out, which made it all worthwhile. I'll paint the picture for you. I was a junior in high school, and I was having a bit of a hard time, not really with school, but with my home life. And any chance I got to leave the house was a good time. And of course, it's pay-per-view time. It's, you know what I'm saying? So it's the Rumble, and all the boys got together, and this chick I was messing with, her family got the Rumble. I was like, all right. I'm going to go over her house. Maybe I'll get a little finger action in there or whatever, but maybe a cop a feel. Maybe a cop a feel, get some pepperoni and cheese, call it a day, all right? So I go, and I'm watching the build up, and I'm happy with Jannetty and Michaels, and I'm happy with Jake the Snake and Macho Man. And I said, you know, I have a feeling Hogan's going to win this. And I kept, and that whole day, I played that whole day in my head that day. I was like, you know, they're going to give it to Hogan again. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, not Hogan again. But I in my heart, I thought he was going to win and Sid Justice was going to go heel, which ironically happened at Mania 8 because that was the main event, correct? So I was kind of right and kind of wrong at the same time. And this is one of those instances where you get thrown for a loop, right? Oh, no, she was 9 when this came out. Whew. I feel really old.
You're going to feel a little bit older because I was 8 when this came out.
Oh, God. Do I have an old sound clip? Do I have... No, I just have a...
Okay, terrific.
Yeah.
Or just have me just say, fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it.
Fuck it.
Yeah, exactly. You hear a lot of this when you watch the pay-per-view, though.
Will you stop?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, I all day chop. I'm building myself up. I'm like, this is going to be epic. Everybody's in this.
It was a star-studded event.
Right?
It really was.
The Knickerbocker Arena was brand new in Albany. Albany, if anybody doesn't know, is the capital of New York. It's a shit show. It's not really a nice place. Well, the parts of Albany I've been to, it's like the hood with trees, you know?
Yeah.
So, but the Knickerbocker Arena was in its infancy, brand new facility. 17,000 were in attendance. I believe the max is like 16,500. So they actually pushed 500 extra seats in there, which is not really that hard to do when you do the floor thing.
Yeah.
That's why the Garden always had 20,000 people because...
Well... You know, you could just push more seats into the Garden. That's it.
The old Garden, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. So, every man for himself, obviously, you know. And then this was the follow-up from Tuesday in Texas and all that, which we did a couple months ago.
Yes.
Right? And this was the fifth, I believe. Duggan won the first one,
yes,
right?
Correct.
I got the wiki up only because I want – not because I don't know the card, but I have – the only place I found the order –
of the order of the eliminations you're
and
talking about.
And the times, yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
So I that's why I brought it up. I normally don't use this at all, but, you know, so prior to the event, the title was vacant. It was stripped from Hogan because of the two switches with Hogan and Taker. First, yep. Survivor Series, then Tuesday in Texas. So on the take, Tony gave Hogan and Undertaker advantage in the draw. They promised them the numbers between 20 and 30. So Hogan and Taker had really good numbers going in. Is that fair to say, right? And like I said before, this is the slow build to turning Sid Justice, the villain, the heel.
Yeah.
He was coming back from an injury. He entered at 29. We'll get into that later on. And we'll talk about the elimination at that time with him and Hogan and Flair. The crowd. And we'll talk about that in a little while. But in Ric Flair's book, he didn't know he was going to be the champ until that day.
Really?
I'll lend you the book if you want to read it.
No, I read the book.
You read the book.
I read the book.
Oh, so to be the man, he mentions in the book that he didn't know. He knew he was going to number three because that was pre-recorded. But he didn't know he was winning until that day.
Wow, I thought he knew already.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
So he must have been like, holy shit, this man's going to give me the belt at what? He was at 43 at that time, maybe?
He was going to go in at one. Vince changed it to three.
Wow.
So there's a couple things if you guys didn't know. And if you don't know, now you know. You know? So, that was the, we all know the rules. Get tossed over the top. If you touch the floor, you're eliminated, right?
Exactly.
But we got a couple of matches to go over first.
And they were actually really good matches.
Some of them were good, yeah. You know, I started watching it again last night on the ferry home. Especially the first one. The first match. And, well, there was Phil likes his dark matches. There was a dark match. Chris Walker beat the Brooklyn Brawl. I don't even know who Chris Walker was.
Was it Braden Walker's brother?
I don't think so. I don't even think he was alive at that point. Man. I think he was born 1992.
Oh,
my sweet Christ. Your first match of the evening was a...
High energy?
No.
I'm joking. For the new foundation.
The new foundation. Owen Hart and Jim Neidhart. The recent new incarnation of the recycling of the Hart Foundation.
Oh, God.
Against the Orient Express, Pat Tanaka and Kato, a.k.a. Paul Diamond, a.k.a. Bad Company, with two Ds from the AWA, former manager of Diamond Dallas Page. Let me just express my love for Pat Tanaka and Paul Diamond. If you go back and watch any of their AWA stuff, fantastic. Pat Tanaka, one of the best workers in the world, was a mid-card guy, trained a lot of wrestlers apparently, and he's the head trainer in that midget micro championship wrestling for Hogan. He was. I don't know if he still is the head trainer. I'm not sure. But he was training midgets the last time I checked in. I'm sorry. Small people.
Little people.
Little people. I'm sorry. I am sorry. I am sorry. Wait, let me get a clip here of 1 second. Yeah.
Will you stop?
I'm sorry.
I'm very offended right now.
You should be. So, Pat Tanaka, Paul Diamond, fantastic wrestlers. They put a mask on Paul Diamond, call him Kato. Then there was two versions of the Orient Express. There was Tanaka and Kato, and Tanaka and the other Asian guy. I forgot his name. Was it Sato? I think it was Sato. Not Saito. Sato, Mr. Sato. And not Sato from Karate Kid. You know, when he goes to Okinawa and
yeah.
Miyagi, you'll fight me.
How do you remember this shit?
My mind is poison, Choppy. I am a idiot savant. I'm a fountain of useless information. Yes, Tanaka did use Goldberg's theme.
You're right.
But that's my love for the Orient Express. Before they were your Orient Express, they were Bad Company. And they would come out to Bad Company from Bad Company. Paul Rogers, Bad Company. Anyway, my classic rock segment sponsored by the Rand EM Radio. Now, the new foundation. Jim Neidhart had his abs shaved in because he didn't have any abs. So he'd shave his body hair.
Dude.
What about the outfits, bro?
Bro. What did Bobby Heenan say about the outfits? It looked like they were in pajamas.
They're in pajamas. He goes, Neidhart's headband's too tight, and he's the sane one.
But with the outfits, you know, it was the early 90s, and everything had to be bright and colorful and happy.
And baggy.
But despite that, Owen Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart were a really good combination as a tag team. I enjoyed them.
I think I can get away with shaving abs into my chest hair.
You should do it.
Jim Neidhart got away with it. Did you see that? He didn't have abs. But, yeah, I'll piggyback on Owen Hart, too, man. What a talent. And listen, people gave him too much props. Oh, Owen Hart was amazing. He was the best. People weren't praising him that much when he was alive, dude.
No.
This is what bothers me about Marks. They'll put guys over when they're dead. They Brian Pillman was the greatest. You guys weren't rooting for Brian Pillman like I was back in the day, you know? But no, I'll give Owen Hart his due, and he was a phenomenal talent. And I think WWE definitely, or WWF at the time, definitely misused him later on in his career. The whole thing with Brett was great when he beat Brett, and then he went over in WrestleMania, and then, you know, he never really got over the mid-card. He was amazing in the Nation of Domination with the Nugget thing. That was fantastic. But it just didn't, and then when they brought the Hart Foundation back, when they were all, like, anti-Americans. And
that was fantastic. When
Pillman and the Bull, right, okay. Again, all fine things, but I think they could have used him a little better. The progression was there, but when he got to a certain point, he just caught it, and that kind of pissed me off.
I think with Owen Hart, he was a phenomenal talent. I don't know if he was better on the. I don't know if who was better on the mic. Either it was Brett or him. I think they're about dead even in terms of the mic skills. In terms of performance, Owen Hart was the fucking man in that ring.
Yeah, he was. This match was really, really good.
It's my second favorite match of the whole night.
I won't go blow for blow because, I mean...
It was a lot. A lot was going on in this match.
Yeah, you know, and let me tell you, the Orient Express did a really good job of, you know, doing the whole heel thing with Fuji and the cane and distracting the referee and...
The whole spot with Mr. Fuji putting the cane in the... by the turnbuckles, and then Owen Hart slamming his shoulder
into the cane. Oh my god,
it was a great spot.
There was actually two cane shots. One was broken, one wasn't. But again, like, and Paul Diamond didn't even wrestle that much. It was really all Tanaka.
Yeah, it was.
You know, and Owen Hart. You could they honestly, and I don't know. I'm saying this. It's a curtain jerker, but Owen Hart could have fought Pat Tanaka, and it would have been a 5-star match.
It would have been great.
You know, so it was a good match. I enjoyed it. 17 minutes, 18 seconds.
And, you know, throughout most of the match, it was all, you know, all Hart Foundation or...
yes.
It was all them throughout most of the match.
Now, at this point, the new Foundation was undefeated.
Yes.
Okay? So, there you had that was going in. You knew they were going to win because they were undefeated.
Yes.
Unless the only way they would have lost is if the Orient Express would have carried on a program with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way that would have happened.
I just wish they had kept like the original like Hart Foundation attire, the tights. I wasn't feeling the baggy pants, man. I was with Bobby Heenan on this.
It was 1992, dude. And honestly, you're lucky you were a child. See, I was never really a trendy guy. Like I wore my jockey, you know, my jerseys, my hats, yeah. My jackets. But I really wasn't I wasn't a fashion plate. You know, I didn't get the baggy pants and I didn't get the friggin', I didn't wear them half off my ass. I didn't roll up the pant leg and, you know, I didn't wear like, you know, I wore nice gear. You know, I was a jeans and t-shirt kind of guy, but the girls dug me either way. I was a fucking stud. You know, the fat guy always got his ass, but I mean, I couldn't get down with the baggy pants, dude. Like the baggy pants, and like I had a pair of overalls at one point, but I didn't wear the one strap off. I didn't wear them hanging off my ass. You know what I'm saying? I didn't do any of that stuff. So, but that whole gimmick was them that people dressed like that, like legit. When you went to a club or something, I was 17, 16, going to clubs. Like, what are you wearing?
And you know what's funny though? I mean, Owen Hart wearing the attire didn't bother me. It just didn't look right on Jim.
No, because Jim Neidhart is 6'2", 280 pounds. He's basically you, a little shorter.
Yeah, exactly.
A little taller, I mean. I didn't like the baggy pants either, Shaylin. I couldn't dig it. You know. Also, you guys were children, so you really couldn't laugh at it like I did.
I'm pretty sure when I was 8 years old, I was like, oh my God, the new Foundation, it looked awesome. I like the clothes.
Of course you did. but the hat, yeah, well, I was doing polka dots and hammer pants along that line. Well... Pastor, you know what? You were a trendsetter, probably. You were a Mac. Now you're an OG. Mr. Mac over there. Anyway, so you know, again, this was a fantastic match. I can't put it over anymore. New Foundation really didn't stay. What bothered me, too, they didn't stay around much longer after this.
No, they didn't.
Jim Neidhart had his demons. We found out later on in life. Later on in our watching wrestling, we found out through, you know, through the dirt sheets and the interwebs. And we all know how Owen Hart progressed, so, you know,
yep,
wasn't too bad. Now, the next match was shorter than I expected when I first, because I didn't know that Bret Hart dropped the belt 48 hours before that in Springfield, Massachusetts. I didn't know they played that. He lost the belt at a house show.
Yeah, and they made sure that everyone in the arena saw that footage to play up to the fact that, you know, the Mountie is the new Intercontinental Champion.
Matter of fact, I didn't know till that day.
So you were like, holy shit.
Because they played it during the half hour. Back in the day, if you guys don't know, when you bought the pay-per-view, that little report I played in the beginning of the show, they would play 30 minutes of that prior to a pay-per-view. They didn't have any. This is before Sunday Night Heat was doing pre-matches and all that other stuff. This, you know, and once in a while, they would throw you a free match, but they were few and far between. So you got like a half hour of previews for the card. So that's what we got. And I didn't know until that day. Nobody knew until that day.
What was your reaction when you saw that?
Honestly, I was like, the Mountie?
Yeah, I know.
Like, Jacques Rougeau? Really? And nothing against Jacques Rougeau, but when I was a kid, he was just a tag team wrestler. Like, I didn't know. Like, him, IC Chan, and he's a fantastic talent, but I was like, really?
But the gimmick was so hokey. Why would they make him the IC Chan?
Right, because he was a talented wrestler. And I think they wanted to just piggyback the belt on somebody to give it to Piper. They probably promised Piper the belt, and that's how they did it. They didn't want him to beat Bret Hart, apparently. So, and that was their baby. Bret Hart was going to be the face of the company, and within a year of this, Hogan's gone. 93, Hogan's gone. Bret's the man.
They pretty much made Bret the man by the end of 92 by having Flair drop the belt to Bret.
To Bret Hart, right.
Yeah.
And then Hogan, WrestleMania.
And then we all know the whole fiasco.
We all know the fiasco after that. So Yokozuna got involved and all that nonsense, and we did that. We did WrestleMania 9 already. We'll do a couple of WrestleManias this year. We'll have to pick out the ones I didn't do. They had a pre-show. It was like a half hour, like I said. So he loses the belt in Springfield, Mass. If you have been to Springfield, Mass, it's Western Massachusetts, about a half hour off of Connecticut. It's a shit show of a town. I used to take an Amtrak there when I was dating this girl from New Hampshire. And the Basketball Hall of Fame is there, though, so that's cool. And the Dr. Seuss Museum is right there, too, so that's cool. But the rest of the neighborhood is just bleh. But the arena is old. The armory is old. The AHL American Hockey League plays there, still plays there.
I remember Springfield pretty well because my family was originally from Boston, Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
And I've
driven. A lot of Portuguese migrated to the upper northeast region of the world when they came to America.
New Bedford, Dorchester.
Yeah.
Fall River.
Fall River. What are you, retarded?
Yeah, retarded.
Pocket cow in Harvard Yard.
Yeah, I always drink my coffee all the time, too.
A pocket cow. My cousin Paul talks like that, dude.
You rat bastard.
They're from South Boston, my cousin Paul.
Oh, God.
And he talks like that. He has that accent. I want to punch him right in his throat. I love the kid, though. I love him, but I hate that accent. What are you, retarded? You're potty hard.
I got to take a wicked piss, guys.
Wicked piss there, huh? Wicked pisser. How are you? Anyway, yes, a lot of Portuguese, when they migrated to the United States, they all went to the northeast, that part of the world.
Yeah.
Emeril Lagasse. No,
Lagasse, yeah.
Also Portuguese.
Yep.
Fall River. That's the whole region. So Springfield, New Bedford, like Choppy said. You got, there's one more town over there. I forgot the name of it, though. They're not the ones you mentioned, but I'll remember it eventually because I'm an idiot savant. But yeah, so the Mountie wins, and let's hear his promo. All right, let's hear his promo. Okay.
The events that took place this past Friday evening in Springfield, Massachusetts, definitely turned out to be a shocking experience. Let me reiterate the fact that Bret the Hitman Hart went to the ring against the advice of his doctors with 104-degree temperature.
Oh, please. I guess he's in General Hospital somewhere, and I guess me and the Mountie, I guess we better get him a get-well card. But let me tell you something, baby. He's not sick with the flu. You know what he's sick from? He's sick from losing.
Comments like that. Hey, I want to know something, Jack Tunney. What's the win and loss record of Piper? What gives him the right to step in today on 2 days' notice? I should have won this match today by forfeit. But don't worry about it, Piper, because the man that I am, the champion that I am, I'm going to do to you what I did to Bret Hart. I took his pride, his integrity, and the belt away from him. You, I'm going to take your skirt, your manhood, and whatever's left, because the Mountie always gets his man.
Let's go over to Gene Okerlund, standing by with a challenger.
Roddy Piper, I can't believe a man, the Mountie, who has held the Intercontinental title for less than 48 hours, can be quite so cocky, quite so arrogant.
Well, you know, what we're dealing with is one of the original village people here. With his mate, Jimmy Hart, who keeps kissing the belt, leaving all that lipstick on it. I heard the money out here saying, first thing I'm going to do, pounds his chest, I don't know, hem me something. First thing I'm going to do, says, I'm going to take Piper's integrity. It's like Jacques Cousteau trying to find a dry spot in the ocean. I ain't got no damn integrity. You think I got so far? Second thing I'm going to do, I'm going to take Roddy Piper's manhood. I come here to fight. I don't know what you come here to do. I come here to win two titles. I can't do that till I win the first one. I think you've been dreaming.
I think it's been all wet, too.
Oh, on that note, let's get back to ringside.
So, again, five and a half minutes, right? And Mountie, listen, the Rougeau brothers were fantastic in the ring, actually. Their dad ran Grand Prix in Montreal, I believe. If you know that part of the world, you know that in the Montreal, Quebec region of Canada, wrestling has a rich history. And, you know, when they broke off, and like Choppy said, it's a hokey gimmick, but it was over.
It was over. I remember not liking the Mountie at all.
No one did.
I fucking couldn't stand
it. Remember when the boss man threw him in jail?
Yes, I do remember that.
In New York.
I was so happy when that happened. But
maybe we'll do that one day. We'll do that throwback.
But Jacques was very good in the ring.
Was that SummerSlam, right?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
We got to do SummerSlam. Was that 92? I forget.
I forget. But
I'm doing it with my memory.
But Jacques was a really good worker, and he's from what I understand, he's also a very good trainer because he's the one who trained Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens.
Yes, he did.
And I guess they just wanted to give him.
Oh, not him.
It was Jacques?
No, the other Quebecer did. The heavy sack when they were the Quebecers.
Oh, what's his name?
Who's the heavyset guy? Dumpy LaFleur.
Pierre Lafitte?
Pierre Lafitte. Dumpy LaFleur, I said. What's wrong with me?
No, but Jacques is a very good worker. And the match,
yeah, they had a school out there.
I wish the match was a little bit longer, though, because these two could have had something really
nice. Yeah, you could have gave 5 minutes from that shitty Bushwhackers match that's next, dude. But we'll get to that in a second. Oof. But, yeah, Piper, listen. Let's not kid ourselves. As much as I adore Hot Rod, as much as you adore Roddy Piper, he ain't the best of workers, man.
He's not, but he was, like, okay, his match at WrestleMania with Bret was good.
Yes.
It was very good.
I agree.
But you're right. Most of his matches were just like him.
Slugfest.
It was a slugfest. He was a wild man in the ring, pretty much.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
You think about it.
Yeah.
But, God, I just wish this match was a little bit longer. Five minutes is not enough.
I agree. So the match ends with Piper, Jimmy Hart trying to interfere, and with bump into your guy thing
yeah.
when he misses him, and goes right into the sleeper hold.
Yeah, that was great.
And then the best part of it all is he gets Jimmy Hart, tosses him, and then he uses the cattle prod on him, which is pretty cool. Now, when you what's funny is if you were at the events. You didn't hear the zzz, 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 because they didn't really use a cattle prod. Because if he did, he'd put people in cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
But when you listen to it on TV sometimes, they would play the zzz, 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 which is pretty cool, which I thought was pretty cool. Because you thought, like, oh my God, the jailhouse match was 91? Thank you.
We got to do SummerSlam 91 then.
Yeah, we do.
We, especially with Bret and Perfect. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do it in summertime.
All right, sweet.
We're doing it sometime. I'm sorry. Go ahead. We talk about Piper.
What was your reaction when Piper won? Because my reaction, I was shocked.
I marked because I told you guys that I've never seen Roddy Piper get pinned in person. Every time Piper won, every time Piper fought at the Garden or the Meadowlands or the Nassau as a heel,
it was always counted on DQ, wasn't it?
He never got pinned.
Exactly.
And never won a championship. And I was like, I never understood why him and Ace didn't go for a tag belt. Imagine him and Ace versus the Bulldogs.
That would have been great.
Or him and Ace versus the Hart Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
Or him and Ace versus Valentine and Beefcake.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah,
it would have been great.
Or the Funk Brothers. Like, it would have been great to see them win a tag team title. So, but they didn't. So, I definitely marked. I marked hard. I was excited. I was more excited because now he's in the fucking Rumble.
Yeah, because now you're thinking he's going to win the whole thing now.
Right.
Like, win both belts because I always felt that he should have been world champion at least once because he was such a great talker. But
right.
Never happened.
So, let's take you to, let's see here. I have the post-match stuff here, so let's play that real quick.
All right, thank you, Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan. Congratulations are in order for you, Rowdy Roddy Piper, the new Intercontinental Champion.
One more time, baby. Only in America. Where else can a skinny 15-year-old kid come on down and become champion and have a chance at the world champion now? I'm going to go in there next meet, Gene. There are going to be 30 guys. I'm going to have them falling down like President Bush. Thank the good Lord, the president. Got up. Them, they ain't gonna be so lucky, cause I got a dream. I do have a dream, and I got my eye on the prize. Mwah! Dedicate this one to Colt.
All right, Rowdy Roddy Piper, one down, one to go.
Colt now, we know who's his son.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's still wrestling. We tried to wrestle. Was he? I know.
I haven't heard anything on him.
Yeah, he's a grown ass man now.
Apparently, he's been trying his hand in wrestling, but I don't know if anything's coming up for him.
Piper wins the IC title, and I'm like, and now me in my head, I told you that I thought Hogan was going to win. I'm like, this is now I'm thinking, oh my God, they make it with the Piper.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I'm torn. Now I'm like, maybe Piper's going to win it, and that would be fantastic. I mean, and everybody in the room's like, oh, they can't keep two belts on him. I'm like, no, they really can't technically, but.
But they did with a warrior back in the 90s.
They
so.
Took it from him, though.
They took him right back, but it's still.
Put in the tournament. And didn't miss the perfect win?
He did.
That was, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
His match with, and not, on a side note, I'm sorry, we're breaking away, but his match with Tito Santana in the finals of the IC tournament, I think it was in the finals.
Yeah, where he won that, and then he held up a tag team title because they didn't have the IC belt right there after the tournament was over.
Yeah. Yes, past the still. Yes, the first Bush, by the way. That's who he's talking about. Yeah, he was in the hospital recently, but everybody's like, oh my God, President Bush is, your former president's in the hospital. Like, he's 107 years old.
Yeah, how old is he really? Is he?
He's in his 80s or his 90s. Yeah.
I thought he's
90. He has to be. And when a 90-year-old catches a cold, it almost becomes pneumonia all the time.
Yeah.
Sadly. So, anyway. Okay, so let's get into the next match. Oh boy.
Oh God.
Worst match of the night.
The Destruction Crew versus the Sheepherders.
The Destruction Crew versus if it was the Destruction Crew versus Sheepherders, you would have as Jim Ross would say, a slobber knocker.
It would have been a barn burner.
Right. The Beverly Brothers with the Genius versus the Bushwhackers with Jameson. Jameson was
hated him.
Yeah, Jameson was like this geeky character manager the Bushwhackers had. He wore like dirty clothes and had the tape on his glasses.
Bobby Heenan used to make fun of him all the time.
Yeah, Bobby Heenan said the state who pays for his clothes, the state.
Bobby was great.
This match was more about the Genius getting his Jameson getting his revenge on the Genius, and he does.
I really like Lanny Poffo as the Genius.
I like Lanny Poffo, period.
Yeah, he's great.
But the Genius thing was perfect to him, and no pun intended, because he wound up going with Mr. Perfect.
Yeah, I remember.
Right? But he had a title shot against Hogan on Saturday Night's main event. We talked about that.
Yep.
I don't mean, I think it was me and you and me and Scott, one of us did. We talked about that with that. And what do you call it? Yeah, that was, he was a good hand. He was a good hand.
It's just a shame that he didn't do more for WWF.
There was so many people on that roster that could have got pushed, but they didn't because it was selling power. It was a political thing. It wasn't a thing where there was so many talented guys that could have been, you know, could have, should have, would have, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, for case in point, Rick Rude, he could have been world champion, and I thought he was one of the most underrated talents in that company.
I agree. You know, you go down the line, and this was, you know, Vince picking the spot. You know,
exactly.
Anyway. But this match was terrible. The Bushwhackers lose.
Yeah.
But Jameson gets his revenge on a genius and, you know.
But, you know, I just gotta let people know, I think the Bushwhackers at this point were, like, late 40s and probably hitting 50 already by this point.
Yes.
So for them to be in this match, I mean, they were just jobbing them out because, you know, they're already old. I mean, they were trying to like, make the Beverly Brothers the new hot tag team for the 90s, apparently. And that wasn't really the case with these guys, because I was never really a big fan of the Beverly Brothers. They were okay.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I was also a Legion of Doom mark at this point.
Yeah.
Very conflicted with their WWF run at the time, because I didn't, you know, like, I knew they were so badass, but they were kind of like, at this point, when, of course, my favorite video game, thank you very much by supporting my habit and giving that game.
Anytime.
WrestleFest. And they were on WrestleFest, and I played that to death. I still do. However, they were more cartoonish. And as a 16-year-old, seeing kids wearing, like, the plastic shoulder pads and painting their face, I was like, oh. Like, I kind of, like, was getting away from the Legion of Doom at that point. I was like, oh, man, this is... Oh, look who's in the room. Look Nick, who's in the room.
The German suplex.
German suplex. Nick, the German suplex.
How are you, my friend?
Nick's... Well, yeah, Nick is... Nick's on the grind. He always is.
He's in Seattle right now, I believe.
I think... Nick, are you still on the West Coast? Or are you home now doing your thing?
Yeah.
If he's home, he's probably at work. That's why he's checking in with us. Knowing Nick. Nick's always on the grind. Shout out to Nick, by the way, doing his thing on Facebook. Anyway, so I was kind of moving away from Legion of Doom at this point.
Now keep in mind, at this time period, I had never watched NWA. So to me, they were like the shit right here for me, because I was 8 years old and I thought they were like larger than life. But.
As you should.
But I was really into the Natural Disasters.
Were you?
Because I was eight. I was a fat, chubby kid. And I could relate more.
Oh, I know where he is. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
I'll tell you later.
And I was a chubby kid, and I could relate more to the Natural Disasters than I could with LOD.
I was chubby, too. I tell you what. I liked Earthquake and Typhoon.
So did I.
Just the whole gimmick.
It was good.
You know?
And I love the fact that Jimmy Hart was their manager, too, which made it even
perfect.
Better.
Perfect. Jimmy Hart's gimmick always was he had a jacket for every guy. And I thought Jimmy Hart did a really good job of hyping his guys up. I think all the managers at that point did a really good job of hyping their guys up. That's to me. But this was a good match. I got promos. And at this point, the Disasters had the Legion of Doom's number.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they were primed to take the belts.
I thought they were going to win them.
You know? Let's take you now to the LOD's promo, which is pretty cool. I actually like it. Hawk just steals the show, though.
All right, thank you, Gorilla Monsoon. We have seen one title match here tonight, and another one right around the corner. The Natural Disasters challenging Hawk and Animal, the Legion of Doom, for the World Tag Team Championship belt.
That's right, Mean Gene. As we said before, the Legion of Doom will never be closet champions. We will face all challengers like we've done in the past. And now we got the biggest team in the World Wrestling Federation history, the Natural Disasters. Almost a half a ton between them. Well, that's okay with us, because we're the champs, and we ain't going to start losing now. Right, Hawk?
Well, Mean Gene, you know what makes us sick besides everything? Typhoon and Earthquake, they make us real sick. You see, they want to throw their weight around. Well, that's okay. We want to throw your weight around, too. And when we're done with you, and we still got the belts, your tongues will be hanging out like dead deer's.
Why, thank you very much. Let's get back to ringside.
Not exactly the best interview guy, but he like the stuff that he used to say was pretty funny, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rick Rude did have the best tights. Remember when he had Jake Roberts' wife, Cheryl Roberts?
I think my favorite, the best tights he ever wore was definitely when he had the Intercontinental title painted on his crotch.
On his crotch, yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a Rick Rude figure up there when I start cleaning the room.
Oh,
up.
You have one?
Yeah, I have two. Ooh. Mikey has one too. Yeah, talk. I'll go grab it.
Yeah,
talk. Go ahead. Talk amongst yourselves.
Absolutely. So, yeah, this match was, I mean, like I said, I was a huge Natural Disasters fan. I also was an LOD fan. So my 8-year-old mind was in heaven right now watching these two monsters, these two monster teams going at it. So it was, you know, it could have went a little bit longer. I think it only went maybe like 9 or 10 minutes. Whoa. Hold on, people. Wow. Holy shit. This is a legit Rick Rude figure.
Take a picture of it and put it on the Facebook page.
Wow. Hold on, people.
Oh, put it, yeah. But, you can take his robe off, too, I think. He's got to, and take the belt off. He got the IC title. I think he's got special tights on. But, anyway.
Continue. Sorry.
No. So, we got a bunch of figures, man. It's Uncle Tank gave Mikey a bunch of them. That one's mine, but Uncle Tank gave Mikey like over 100 of them. So I have the Legion of Doom up there too. So I have Demolition. We have two.
Oh, that I know.
Yeah, I have the Horseman. I got Ric Flair in a suit holding the four up. You know, Mikey's got the other Horseman. He's got Benoit. He's got Malenko with the Horseman shirt on.
Does he have Jared as well in the Horseman?
No, stop it. Stop. What tights is he wearing, Rick Rude?
He's wearing the green ones with his face painted on.
With his face painted on him? Yeah. And Mikey has the other one with the other robe on it. So, yeah, so this match, man, this match was a little disappointing.
I thought it was going to go longer.
Went 9.5 minutes, 9 minutes, 24 seconds. The Legion of Doom really didn't get pinned very often at all. So, Choppy's still playing with the... with the action figure. He's going to take a picture of it.
I'm trying to over here. Hold on.
You can stand him up. You can move this. Move.
I don't want to. I like Jake over there. Jake is cool.
No, we'll put Jake back. If you want to take a picture of him right there in front of the chat room.
Hold on.
There you go.
Hold on.
IC belt on him. Choppy's playing with my action figures.
Oh, this is perfect.
There you go. You have action figures all over the room.
Oh, this is fantastic. I'm going to put this on the paper right now. This is fucking great.
Anyway, join the Facebook page if you haven't joined it already. This is the shit that we put on there. So, anyway. Yeah, so a little disappointing, but the Natural Disasters do win by count out.
Yeah, ugh.
A little lackluster, to say the least.
I mean, they, like, let's be honest. I mean, LOD were not the best workers, but they were... They were a legitimate force. In the
Yeah, of course. They, yeah. You know, they were stiff as hell. They didn't like to lose at all. I think the WWE or F at the time humbled them a little bit, gave them a different work ethic. Like, you know, you're not going to walk in here and this is not, you know, 1987. You're not fighting, you know, the Powers of Pain. You're not fighting the Russians. You're not fighting the Horsemen, you know. You're not fighting the Midnight Express. These are all character teams. The Nasty Boys at that point were in there. The Beverly Brothers, the Bushwhackers, the new Foundation.
Yeah.
Chavi trying to make Rick Rude swivel his hips. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I was.
That's exactly what he was doing, actually, Shaylin. So, we have post match comments from the Natural Disasters. If you want to we'll take it to I believe Sean Mooney.
We just witnessed an incredible matchup involving the Legion of Doom and the Natural Disasters. Hawk and Animal retained the belts, but obviously Earthquake and Typhoon are not going to be pleased, and they are going to demand a rematch, I'm sure, sometime soon. Now, I'm hoping to get a word with the challengers, but they are at this point here. Wait a minute. Jimmy Hart coming in, and obviously they're not very pleased with...
We should be the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions. I am going to call my lawyer. I'm going to get my attorney. I am fed up with this. I am fed up to hear with this. They should be the champions.
We have the titles.
I can't believe
what happened. How come they were taken away?
Well, you know, it must be a pinfall.
Millions of people see what happened there. We're the champions. We're the WWF Tag Team Champions.
We beat them fair and square. They were cut out of the ring. We had our hands held high. We're the champions.
Jack Tony, you're going to see our attorneys. We're not put up with this stuff. We kicked their butts. And look what happens. They pull it away from us. It ain't going to happen no more.
The referee awarded us the match. These guys are the champion. I'm calling our attorney. I'm getting a lawyer because we're not going to let these guys get away with that. No way, baby. We're fed up. This is it, baby. This is it,
I'm sorry. That is the official word.
If we get our hands on you again, we will be the champions.
Hawk and Animal, still the reigning tag team champions right now. Let's go back out to ringside.
Everybody's marking over the Nick already posted already.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, there you go. That's the way you continue a feud, you know? Maybe during WrestleMania season, I'll just take a random picture of a wrestling figure each day. We'll post it on social media.
That's a good idea, man.
I have over 100 of them over here sitting.
Not to change up, but let me just tell you something. Phil has a really, really impressive collection of wrestling figures here.
Yeah, my main favorites are the Horsemen. I have Ric Flair, like I said. I have two versions of Flair.
I want that Tully Blanchard, by the way.
Oh, with the satin jacket. Oh, yeah, him and Arn came like that. Yeah,
man.
I got the Midnight Express. I have the Samoans with Albano. I have Demolition. I have two sets of Demolitions. I have, there's a bunch. We have, my sister got Mikey Bret Hart with the Canadian flag and the jacket, the leather jacket. He's got that inside in his room. We have Uncle Tank gave us, rest in peace, Giant Gonzalez.
You have a Giant Gonzalez?
Uncle Tank did, yeah.
Where is that?
It's inside.
We'll break it out.
I'll break it out for Sunday.
Wow.
We'll break it out for Sunday for Choppy for his birthday. So, yeah. So maybe that's what I'll do. I'll start posting random pics of wrestling figures.
That's pretty cool.
I'll have Mikey pick them out, too. And we'll...
Do you have a Mr. Perfect?
Yes.
You do?
We do have Mr. Perfect.
You know what I was thinking about one day? Could you imagine if Perfect and Rude were a tag team combination in the WWF?
Well, they were really good friends because they were
I know
from
that.
The same area. Yeah.
Same high school and everything. Robbinsdale.
Rick Rude. And we'll get into his stuff. Him and Manny Fernandez had a really good run as champions, tag champions.
In Mid-Atlantic, I believe, right?
NWA.
Yeah, Mid-Atlantic, right?
Crockett, Jim Crockett, yeah. Yep. And I have to find some of their matches, but they had some good matches.
He was also, wasn't he in Mid-South as well?
Because
I remember watching in the Mid-South some footage of him being down there.
Yeah, sure was.
He was a babyface.
Sure was. All right, so we're getting to the meat and potatoes.
The greatest rumble of all time.
We got some promos, though.
Yes, please.
We got, let's hear first from the Heartbreak Kid, a very new Heartbreak Kid, the new heel, Shawn Michaels.
The rocker, Shawn Michaels.
That's right.
Thank you, Gene. The second half of the Royal Rumble still to come. For the first time in World Wrestling Federation history, 30 superstars will be involved in the championship bout. And as you can see, there is a great deal of tension here in the locker room, understandably so, as each participant has the chance to become the next World Wrestling Federation champion. Now, there are some favorites. There are also some underdogs. Excuse me, Shawn Michaels. Big opportunity coming your way this afternoon. Unfortunately, I cannot say the same for your, should I say now, former tag team partner. Folks, you heard some of the details earlier. For those of you who missed that appalling incident that knocked Jannetty out of the Royal Rumble, let's take a look back and see what happened just 1 week ago on The Barbershop.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Rocker!
Well, told you. Glad to see that.
Told you.
Tag team specialist.
See, one without the other isn't any good.
Oh, I knew he was going to do that. I just knew he was going to do that. He don't need Jannetty. I told you that off and on.
Are you kidding? What a
despicable act
that was!
Will you stop? Oh my God!
Shawn Michaels, I have to say that was one of the most heinous acts I have ever witnessed.
You know, I don't know what the big deal is. Think about it, Jannetty. I saved you 29 other beatings. I mean, sure, you know, not as bad as the one I gave you, but 29 beatings nonetheless. And you know, is there any doubt in my mind that I'm going to be walking home with the World Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship? I don't think so. Now everybody is going to find out what Shawn Michaels has known all along, that he is without a doubt the hottest thing the World Wrestling Federation has ever, ever laid eyes on.
Clearly the only thing on the mind of Shawn Michaels is the World Wrestling Federation Championship. Let's go back out to ringside.
So that's probably Shawn Michaels' first real heel promo.
And he was really good. Yeah, he's just a natural on the mic.
Yeah. That was the beginning of the new generation.
Yeah.
The new generation. Okay. We're ready for the Rumble. However, I did pick out, I got some Ric Flair comments.
Please share.
Okay, sure. Let's talk to the Nate Chibo.
Woo!
Where is it? Let's talk to the Nature Boy.
Woo!
That's right. Let's take you now to pre-match comments from Slick Rick.
This Coliseum Video exclusive. Tell me, Mr. Coliseum
Video exclusive.
How did you fare?
If you bought the videotape. That's how you
got it. Alfred, I drew number 3. To a lot of people out there, they'd say, my God, what a disadvantage you're going at. But look at it like this. When your name is Ric Flair, when you're the claimant to the real World Heavyweight Championship, you know that to make everybody a believer that I've got to beat 29 other men. So I'll get number 3. That means I'll be in there close to an hour. It makes no difference. When I walk out, I will be the World Wrestling Federation champion against all odds, and that's the bottom line.
That is the bottom line from Ric Flair. So now, back to the ringside.
Now, before we get into the Rumble match itself, let me tell all of you the hair on my neck when I had hair stood up when Howard Finkel did this. When I knew shit got real.
Oh yeah.
President Jack, time to take Tunney.
Thank you very much, Howard. I would like to take this opportunity to officially welcome everyone who is watching this spectacular event with us. The winner of this event will not only have the prestige of beating 29 other men, but will also be declared the undisputed World Wrestling Federation champion.
Come on, let's go.
I would like to say in closing, may the best man win.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
And he got booed just as much as Roman Reigns does now.
Oh, he sucked.
I mean, I could tell you that the boos were a little louder on the original feed of this. I have the original DVD somewhere. But the network filters a bunch of stuff out, which is kind of disappointing, but none. And we're in a digital age where for me to go digging out tapes all the time, it's just once in a while, it's just cool to kick back and watch some of the stuff on the network, even though I still like my tapes and my DVDs and shit.
Of course.
So, yeah, that was it. That was the, now you knew she got real. So we know Ric Flair drew 3. We knew Taker and Hogan had between 20 and 30. So who drew number 1?
The British Bulldog.
The British Bulldog. The Bulldog stayed in there for a while. He was in there for over half an hour.
Yeah.
He threw out 3 people. He threw out Jerry Sags, and we'll get that into the set. But, how do you want to do it? You just want to go by their order? And then who they got eliminated by, and then we'll just keep the comments going. And
yeah, let's do that.
All right.
It's easier that way.
So the Bulldog came in, stayed in for a half hour, got tossed out by Ric Flair.
Yep.
DiBiase was number 2, and he got thrown out by the Bulldog, minute and a half, minute and 20.
Yeah.
Now, Ric Flair drew number 3. Obviously, he won. He had 5 eliminations, and I think was Martel's record longer, or was he the first? I forget. I know he went, it was 1 hour and 2 seconds. But I think Rick Martel was like 58 minutes, something like that.
Rick Martel is almost an hour. Ric Flair beats his record.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So we know that Haku and Brian Knobbs, Brian Knobbs and Marty Jannetty were out. So Haku and I believe Nikolai Volkoff and Haku were the replacements for Marty Jannetty and Brian Knobbs.
Yeah.
So Jerry Sags came in next. He got eliminated by the Bulldog. Haku came in after that. They're only in there for like a minute and 2 minutes.
Yeah, not too long.
Shawn Michaels was in there for almost 16 minutes.
Yeah.
And he got eliminated by Tito Santana.
Yep.
Right?
Chico Santana.
Then they both eliminated each other.
Perfect.
So there you go. The Barbarian was eliminated, but he was next, number 8. Got eliminated by Hercules in there for 12 and a half minutes, almost 13 minutes. Here we go. Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich, Stumpy McGee. He got eliminated by Ric Flair at 9 minutes and 20 seconds. He was in there for 9 minutes. Now, him and Flair had a little rivalry going on in the 80s when they hot potatoed the NWA championship.
Yep.
Repo Man got dumped by the Big Boss Man. Repo Man was number 10. Greg Valentine. Repo Man threw out Greg Valentine, number 11, and Nikolai Volkoff. That was cool. Ric Flair eliminated Big Boss Man, number 13. Hercules was in there. He got eliminated by the Boss Man. The Boss Man had a couple eliminations there. There you go.
Yep.
Now, 15, Piper, who stayed in for 34 minutes and 6 seconds after winning the IC title. He eventually lost, got tossed out by Sid Justice.
But I got to ask you about this. What were you thinking knowing that Piper was still in this?
34 minutes. Now, you have to understand something, too. Unless you're paying attention, which most of us aren't at that age, because we have the attention span of a gnat, right? Unless you're fixated on that one wrestler, which I tried to do, you didn't know he was in there for 30 minutes unless the announcers told you so, correct?
Yes.
Right. So you're like, what the fuck? Like, this is going to... And then all of a sudden, Piper been in there for 30 minutes. I'm like...
Oh, you're like, I know.
I said, Hogan... I mean, listen, at this point, Hogan wasn't in it yet.
No.
Taker wasn't in yet. Sid Justice wasn't in yet. Sid Justice came in... He was later on, like 29, 30.
Yeah.
So, I was marking out. Jake Roberts next at 16. He eliminated by Savage. Duggan was next. He got tossed out by Virgil. Number 18, IRS, got tossed by Piper. Jimmy Snuka.
Oh, God.
Undertaker's first streak opponent.
God rest his soul.
God rest his soul. Eliminated by Taker. Undertaker was in next at 20. Hogan got to him. Yep. Taker was in there almost 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Savage next.
My favorite.
Ric Flair and Sid Justice. Your boy the Berserker. Huss.
I'm going to get berserk.
He got eliminated by Hogan.
Stupid.
Virgil, 23, got eliminated by Duggan. Colonel Mustafa, a.k.a. Iron Sheik.
I humble you.
Oh, yeah. Let's, what are you going to do to... Wait, what's Sheiky Baby going to do to anybody?
The fuck is us? Make him humble.
That's right.
I'm sorry. I love that sound clip.
It's good. The model Rick Martel was in at 25. Him and Hogan, well, he got tossed by Sid Justice.
Mm-hmm.
Skinner, a.k.a. Steve Kern.
Yep.
He got 27. He got eliminated by Rick Martel. Sergeant Slaughter was in there for like 5 minutes. He got eliminated by Sid Justice. So, we're down to four people. We're down to, the Warlord was number 30. He got tossed out by Hogan and Sid. And then you're down to four people. It was Sid Justice, Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan, and Ric Flair. Let's take you now to the end of the greatest Royal Rumble of all time.
Why is Hulk upset? He said, you stole my belt. And look at this. Hulk's dead. Holding on. Trying to pull him out. It's Flair from behind.
Ric Flair set the record 1 hour, 2 seconds. This was the fifth consecutive year the record was broken.
Yep.
So, thank you for the facts.
My God.
Now, jumped off the couch, screamed at the top of my lungs, dropped to my knees, and said thank you. I don't know who I was thanking because I wasn't praying at that point. I was delirious from happiness that Ric Flair won the heavyweight championship. Months of the belt being distorted. Months and months and months of promos, months of dealing with Piper and his bullshit, Savage and his bullshit. I was like, please, please, please make him the champion. And he did.
you weren't the only one who marked out, because did you hear that crowd reaction when he won?
Absolutely.
They popped so much for him. I couldn't believe it. I mean, at the time, I hated him because I was 8 years old.
And everybody hated him.
But, dude, everyone popped tremendously for Ric Flair.
Yes, they did. They most certainly did. And I'll say this. Anything you read about the Rumble, that's the first thing you mention, was the crowd reaction.
Oh, yeah.
Wrestling fans weren't turning that quickly yet. It was coming to that because characters were getting stale. I mean, it was the 90s. It was a new thing. Things were changing drastically at that point.
Oh, like, yeah.
The world was changing, you know?
Not to make this Rumble sound any less than, it's a really great Rumble, but what Phil's saying that, you know, things were getting stale. Look, if you just listen to the gimmick names, I mean, like, for example, Repo Man, what else?
Colonel Mustafa. The Middle East thing was still, at that point, Slaughter was an Iraqi sympathizer, and he got his death threats and went back to being a face again.
Yep.
The regular guys, the IRSs were there, and Skinner, like, you know.
It was really hokey gimmicks at this time.
Yeah, the Mountie, you know, shit like that, you know. So, I lose my mind, and at this point, I'm like, are they going to go to the locker room? They're going to talk to him? They have to talk to him. And Flair's run in WWE was validated with this promo. Anytime you watch YouTube or any other podcast that did a review on this match, particularly mention the promo.
It's probably his best, one of his best.
Well, that's debatable, because I think the...
I mean, his NWA stuff is great.
You can't touch the Space Mountain. Or,
of course.
When he gives Ricky Morton the training bra.
But I mean, like, his best...
WWF stuff?
WWF,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Why is my wife calling me during the podcast? What is wrong with her? Maybe they can't get in.
Ooh.
Maybe. Hold on one second.
Hold on, guys.
Talk amongst yourselves.
You got it.
So,
hello?
We...
I'm coming down. Yep, see, I told you.
Yep, the door is locked, guys. Hold on one second, but...
Okay, talk.
Yeah, man, this match was unbelievable. It was definitely something to behold. I mean, I can only imagine what those people were thinking at that time, especially with the crowd reaction and the fact that Flair won. I mean, Vince picked a bad guy or a heel to win the belt. And it didn't matter if he was bad or not. The crowd loved it. And in my mind, I think that with this title win, it pretty much, like Phil said, it validated his yeah, exactly, Jalen, with a tear in my eye. I mean, I was 8 years old, and I was not none too pleased. I wish it was Hogan who had won this. Almost everyone with Flair wore suits, so I love him. Hey, I'm sure you did, my friend. It was definitely happening. And my partner's back.
Sorry,
it's all
we
good.
We locked him out when the delivery guy came.
Oops.
These broads need to carry their keys. No, that front door's never mind.
It's all right.
So anyway, the promo defines the match, defines the decade. I think.
Yeah.
So, let's take you now to that as I catch my breath.
We understand we've got it going on. Let's go to Mean Gene.
I'll kill you.
All right, by virtue of winning the Royal Rumble, we have a brand new World Wrestling Federation champion as the press watches on. At this time, to present the title belt to the new champion, our president, the distinguished Jack Tunney.
Congratulations, Ric Flair, on becoming the undisputed champion of the World Wrestling Federation.
Let me just say, after Vera distorting the belt, they're proclaiming the real world champion. I'm going to tell you all, with a tear in my eye, this is the greatest moment in my life. When you walk around this world and you tell everybody you're number one, the only way you get to stay number one is to be number one. And this is the only title in the wrestling world that makes you number one when you are the king
of the WWF. You rule the world. Think about it like that, Mr. Perfect.
Guys, we're the brain. Yeah.
Woo! Woo!
We did it.
Woo! Let's give a big one. Woo!
You did it.
I was never so impressed with anything I've ever seen in all my life. He went out there for over 60 minutes, never took a back step, took it to Hogan, took it to The Undertaker, took it to whoever got in that ring. That's why he is,
hey,
and
Bobby,
you can call now, the real world's heavyweight champion.
We're not the kind of guys to say, we told you so, but we told you so.
Hey, okay, very good. Ric Flair, you have made world... Put that cigarette out. You have made World Wrestling Federation history here tonight.
It's the greatest moment of my life. I want to jump. I want to party. But I got to tell you like this. For the Hulk Hogans and the Macho Mans and the Pipers and the Sids, now it's Ric Flair. And y'all pay homage to the man. Woo! I love it!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up. We hope you have enjoyed your Royal Rumble.
Woo!
Wow.
Yeah, I muted mic before. I'm sorry.
Pastor, sorry about that. But sorry, guys. We had a little bit of...
Next time, just move this mic over.
Yeah, I should have thought about that.
It's okay.
Sorry.
No doubt. I know. Or just push that button.
Yeah.
You know. Not your fault. My fault. Little snafus tonight. Nothing ever goes smooth. There's a big transition going on here behind the scenes. Once I know what's going on with that, I'll keep you guys all informed. May have to take a week or two off in the next couple months.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully I don't have to. If I do, it is what it is. Okay. But other than that, start wrapping this bus up, man. Pull this bus into the depot. Train into the station.
Yeah. So, guys, if you can, let us know how you thought about the Rumble 92. I mean, I love this Rumble. I think it's the best one so far. I don't think there's ever been one that's topped this one. What do you think?
It's my favorite.
Me too.
It'll always be my favorite. And not to say, you know, there's a few that I really enjoyed. The Austin ones I enjoyed. Yeah. I enjoyed Triple H when he came back in 02.
Yeah.
When John Cena came back in 08. I enjoyed all of those Rumbles. Nothing compares to this.
No, it still holds up very well.
Even if the belt is up for grabs again, like, it doesn't have that same, you know.
Yeah. I mean, they tried doing it last year with Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns. Yeah.
Put that cigarette out.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't with Mean Gene. So animated.
I love it. Yeah, fuck it.
Fuck it.
I love it. I got the soundboard on fucking on fire tonight. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it. It's been fun. I couldn't wait to do this, man. I was so amped.
I was waiting all month to do this. You don't understand. I was waiting all month to do this pay-per-view.
Don't forget tomorrow night, the pre and post show for TakeOver starts 7 p.m. then 11 p.m. after that. Myself, Double A, Will Morgan, Hightower. Sunday, what are you reading is not, I don't think Surfer's doing a show on Sunday.
Oh, Nick, I'm sorry, Nick, Phil picked Balor. Phil,
yep.
And I picked Goldberg.
Yep. All right, so, let's wrap this up. So we have that coming up, and then, of course, Tuesday, Shining Wizards, they got Fala Ba in studio.
Yep.
We'll see Fala Ba next month, right? We're going to WrestlePro, you said?
Yes, we are.
Okay, February 11th. Let's see. Yeah, so do that. You got the Wizards, and you got the Rant, Thumbstick Ninjas, Rant and Wrestling, and of course us next Friday.
Yep.
That's rantemradio.com, turnbucklethrowbacks.com. All of our back catalog is there. All of our friends that are not network affiliates, please support them. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Do that. Aw, man. If you want to email us, turnbucklethrowbacks1@gmail.com. Twitter at TBuckleTbacks and at Choppy Margaca. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, you are.
Okay. And what else we got going on? T-shirts, ProWrestlingTees.com.
/the shirt.
Yeah, /TurnbuckleThrowbacks. 4 designs. Be a mark. Buy the shirt. It helps the show out immensely. Next week, we're going to be announcing a contest for WrestleMania. We got some cool prizes to give away. Because I have to clean the house anyway. So, please listen next week. Let's see what else is going on. Anything else you want to plug?
No, that's it, my friend.
Yeah, shout out to all our friends, man.
Oh, support indie wrestling, please.
Support indie wrestling. Support music. Indie music. Support your scene. Whatever you guys do in life, live it. Take it to the max. Enjoy life like it's your last day, because it's very short.
And be nice to everyone.
But yeah, please. Take care of yourself, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Be kind to you, be kind to animals. Don't say the N-word. Hug your mom. And just be a fucking good human being, man. Tolerance is the name of the game, kids. 2017, tolerance. All right? So on behalf of my tag team partner, I'm the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, bidding you adieu, reminding you all to do all those things I just told you to do. And I'm done. Are you done?
I'm done, dude.
Good night, kids. Say good night, Gracie.
Good night, everyone.